Traditional crime by default is national. Cybercrime by default is international.
We are always in an endless race with criminals.
It is the most heinous crime. This is inhuman.
Well, the Kidflix site had 1.8 million users. And that means during the total time that it was active, one user per minute got access.
Warning. This episode discusses the abuse of children and may be distressing for some listeners. We all know that we are living in the era of artificial intelligence. There's no news there. AI is turbocharging organized crime. But how exactly, and in which main areas? It's about cybercrime, like ransomware and crime as a service. It's about online child sexual exploitation and child sexual abuse material. It's about criminal networks not needing as many mules and service providers to help them carry out their activities. AI is an enabler. Organized crime is accelerating as it becomes increasingly efficient. Thanks to technology, criminals can better target people en masse, faster and more accurately. Welcome back to the Europol podcast, the official podcast of the EU Agency for Law Enforcement Cooperation. Today's episode, how crime is accelerated by AI. It's Olivia here, and in today's episode, we are going to hear from a wide range of experts. Let's start with Edvarda Silveris, head of the European Cybercrime Centre at Europol. Can you tell us about your department? How does the European Cybercrime Centre work?
It's one of the five operational departments here at Europol, and our main business activity or area of responsibility, if I could name it this way, it's with a name, it's cybercrime. And we cover not only cyber-dependent crimes, but cyber-enabled. And for listeners who don't understand this slang, actually cyber-dependent is traditional high-tech. It's intrusions, cyber attacks, ransomware, to some extent espionage or APTs. And cyber-enabled crimes, so everything what could be done through cyber. So, for example, child sexual abuse, online frauds, dark web, and similar activities.
So, the Serious and Organized Crime Threat Assessment also highlights the new trend that crime is accelerated by AI. What do we mean by that?
So, crime is accelerated by AI and by new technologies.
That's Tamara Skota, head of strategic analysis at Europol.
This is all AI that is behind it. No, it's AI that is doing this. We all know about the stories about the deepfakes. We all have seen these videos that can be created. Well, also criminals use these things. So technology and AI, just as we, a normal citizen, are increasingly using it, like I think everyone has a kind of an open AI app on his mobile phone now, well, criminals have also seen an enormous market and enormous opportunities in that to facilitate and to increase, in fact, crime. So the tools that they are using today make sure that they can speed up the crime and that they can make more victims. More victims means more profits.
So do we see this in the heinous area of online child exploitation as well? In this section of the episode, you might hear the term CSAM. That's the abbreviation for child sexual abuse material. And CSE, that's child sexual exploitation.
So criminal networks, their main goal is still to make profit. And we have seen that multiple times. It doesn't matter on which market it is. And sadly, we also have seen that they have entered the market of child sexual exploitation. This is mainly linked to the fact that this market, of course, has been increasingly nurtured online. So all type of possibilities have popped up in the past year, whether it was the dark market to change things, whether it's AI that has facilitated it, the fact that everyone went online recently. So they see a profit into that. And so that's why, in fact, organized crime is jumping on also, sadly enough, also on this market. Because that's what they do. Where there is profit to make, they go. So child sexual exploitation is one of the most heinous, no, in fact, it's the most heinous form of serious and organized crime. So if you would see what is going on these platforms, the type of videos, the type of pictures that are exchanged, this is inhuman. This is not acceptable. This is for many people unbelievable. If you combine that with criminal networks, with criminal actors that are also making profit out of this, this is really inhuman.
hard to state from law enforcement side what is reality, what is bit fiction. What do I mean by that? Actually, we depend on referrals from private companies, from private parties. And in this case, for example, Meta started to encrypt end-to-end Messenger, for example. And then we lost some visibility on this business area. Of course, we do house searches, we confiscate some data sets, and from this we can estimate how big this problem is. But I would say that especially in this case, in this area, AI became a real accelerator because it's extremely easy to generate content. It's extremely easy to use your face and different body. And it's extremely difficult for a person without special skills to recognize it's true or not. And it has huge impact to mental health. It victimizes victims for whole life because you will not prove to anyone that it was not you. And that's why for law enforcement, it's crucial interest to have proper tools how to fight this phenomenon.
So child sexual exploitation offences have increased in recent years. With more child sexual abuse material detected online, more referrals and more investigations. The production and distribution of this material is expected to grow in the future. That's why Europol has defined it as one of the gravest threats facing the EU. So what's Europol actually doing about this? I spoke to Danny van Althaus, the head of Europol's analysis project on child sexual abuse online. How is child sexual exploitation evolving?
Well, unfortunately, we see it increase year by year. And again, last year, it did increase by double-digit percentages. And amongst that, we also see that the severity of the material is increasing.
Is it that child sexual exploitation is increasing, or is it just more visible to law enforcement nowadays?
That's, of course, always a very interesting question. Yes, we are improving our technical capabilities. We are increasing the amount of investigative capacity on our side and so on. But it is, in my opinion, absolute that the child sexual exploitation offences are increasing in recent years. If we see criminal initiatives like Kidflix, for instance, and the vast amount of so-called members or users and the material that was shared, that is the only conclusion that we can make.
What was the Kidflix case about?
The recent takedown of the platform Kidflix exemplifies the magnitude of this threat. It was a streaming platform for CSEM, and it was active since 2021, and it was very like YouTube. As functionality, you could use uploads of videos, you could comment on videos, you could like videos, and that would give you credits. And about 1.8 million users or members were registered during the time that Kidflix existed. There were different subscription models. You could have it for free. Of course, then the quality was less. You could have a monthly prescription or an annual. And you could also have a lifetime subscription. And it was paid via cryptocurrency. And via this cryptocurrency or this reward system, you could get your tokens, which gives you access to a video in different qualities. The more tokens you would give, the better quality of the movie was.
How many videos were found on this platform?
Yeah, during this total time, 91,000 unique CSEM videos were uploaded and shared on this platform whilst it was active. And we can roughly divide this growth in two phases. And it's especially very shocking, but interesting from law enforcement perspective, as you can imagine, to see what they did with the amount of users. So the first phase is between the start of the platform in 2021 and the first moment that the German law enforcement agencies, who investigated this case in the beginning, got grip on the server and did the first seizures in the beginning of 2023. Approximately one new user or member added to this platform per minute. And the second phase, and that started directly after the first phase, of course, and ended when we were ready to identify everybody and start preparing the international actions that we did in the beginning of this year. Well, the Kidflix site had 1.8 million users. And that means during the total time that it was active, one user per minute got access.
1.8 million. That's a scary figure. 1.8 million is just so many people.
Also, the amount of material on it is something that should be mentioned, because with a total running time of over 6,000 hours of available videos on the site, that also meant during this time that it was live, that on average around 3.5 new videos were uploaded to the platform every hour.
Let's unpack this a bit now. What do we actually mean by AI-generated or synthetic child sexual abuse material? An AI-generated CSAM is still regarded as CSAM, right?
It is child sexual abuse material, and therefore punishable. It is the depiction of a sexual act with a person who is under the age of 18. Whether it's a actual person, or a synthetic, or a built by a computer person, is not really interesting for the punishability of it. It is punishable to have imagery, which is CSAM. So AI CSAM is CSAM. And that's very important to realize, also for those persons who think that it might be not punishable. It's important that we keep mentioning, for instance, that even artificial intelligence-generated child sexual abuse material is a punishable fact. It is child sexual abuse material. Not only because it is punishable by the law, but also because we know that some of the parts of this AI generator are trained on actual child sexual abuse material. So it is directly connected to real child sexual abuse.
What's the difference between synthetic and AI-generated CSAM?
So with synthetic, AI-generated child sexual abuse material is synthetic, but not every synthetic child sexual abuse material is AI-generated. It is a drawing. It could be a photoshopped image or a video. And that means that in the old days, before AI, so that's not very long ago, it was, for instance, Photoshop used to change a face. Now, in the age of AI, you do not need to use Photoshop or to be very, very good in using Photoshop, because you can imagine it was way more easy to identify that it was a fake image. AI-generated CSAM is something that we see increase. The IWF, the Internet Watch Foundation, for instance, saw an increase of 380%, and that is the comparison between 2023 and 2024. It's a report of last year. And it's very, very difficult to identify. Where in the old days, AI-generated material, in general, gave, for instance, five or six fingers, strange eyes, or how the nose was placed in a face, that is getting better and better every week.
Is it difficult for law enforcement to tell the difference?
In some cases we can, but it is getting more and more difficult. And one of the reasons, for instance, is that we now have LoRa. And LoRa stands for Low Rank Adaption. And Lower Rank Adaption enables a quick fine-tuning of diffusion the models. Using Low Rank Adaption technology, it is easier to make certain parts, which were difficult in the past and gave a lot of troubles in computing power, more easy access. These LoRAs, these low rank adaption models, we see that they are trained with real child sexual abuse material to make the quality better, to be used in AI-generated CSAM.
Are we seeing more CSAM being produced than ever before because of AI?
Yes, we have, but it's very, very difficult to give it a real percentage of increase, because we have to treat it as real, because for us it's getting more and more difficult to see if it is real or AI-generated material.
Can you tell us about a recent case Europol has been involved in?
So with AI-generated material, we see an increase in severity, because you can do whatever you want on how the depiction of the sexual abuse is taking place online, because you are in control. You do not need green screen technology, for instance, that we had to see in the past. We can use now AI-generated. It uses a lot of law enforcement capacity, and there is an example where Europol participated in this year, and that is Operation Barrackbone. In collaboration with the United Kingdom and the Danish National Special Crimes Unit, we assisted them in working a case against professional producer of CSAM, and he was known as Barrackbone. His material was produced entirely by the use of artificial intelligence, and this producer was spreading this highly realistic AI CSAM through a subscription-based method. And the subscribers learned from Barrackbone through social media, for instance, and it was shared on different CSAM fora. Via these subscriptions, the subscribers, or the suspects in our situation, pay the monthly fee of around 5 euros and then receive every month a new folder with new AI-generated material in it. And that folder could contain everywhere between 500 and 1500 new CSAM images. And this subscription service was linked to a PayPal account. And Europol was involved from the start to analyze this huge amount of data and coordinate the international collaboration. And this investigation has shown that at least 273 subscribers who can be more or less identified through those PayPal transactions. And we follow the money back to the real identity.
Well, Europol analyzed the data and coordinated the international collaboration in Operation Cumberland. But what else does Europol do to fight child sexual exploitation?
So in relation to this Operation Cumberland, we see that the quality of the AI-generated material was very, very good. And that means that we have to treat all the material until we are certain that it is not a real child depicted in the image. We have to try to identify the location of the abuse. And we do that through different means. And one of the means within Europol is the Victim Identification Task Force. Within the Victim Identification Task Force, we bring around 30, 35 specialists from all over the world, twice a year, to Europol headquarters in The Hague, where they work 2 weeks in a row and try to identify the location where the abuse has taken place. And then we disseminate the information and the evidence to the location, to the authorities of the location that we identify.
Is the fight against child sexual exploitation a priority for Europol then?
Absolutely, it is. AP Twins is one of the themes bringing direct closure, not only in a criminal investigation, but also in the safeguarding of a victim that is being abused. Over the years, there is a lot of initiatives. I spoke about the victim identification task forces. There is annual meetings where we share technology, where we share knowledge amongst the international law enforcement group. But there is also a project called Trace an Object. Trace an Object is a project where cold cases are brought to the public for crowdsourcing the information. And we sanitize images where we take artifacts out of the image or the video, and we ask the public if they can identify the make, the model, the location, the country where it was manufactured, for instance, and that can give us a lead to bring those investigations back to life again.
If you have a minute, please check out Europol's website and look through the artifacts to see if you recognize anything. Any lead can make the difference and save a child. You can find the website at europol.europa.eu/stopchildabuse.
It is important to say that child sexual abuse material is a crime which is not a one-time crime. Victims get re-victimized as long as the material is online and keeps popping up. And the problem with the internet is, once it's on there, it's very, very difficult to get it off. And that means that victims always, in the back of their minds, have the idea, will it occur one day? So the physical trauma is huge.
We've discussed the most heinous sort of crime in this episode, with this surge in CSAM and CSE online. Online exploitation of children is listed by Europol as one of the biggest criminal threats facing the EU. What does law enforcement need to combat it?
To keep the fight that we do against child sexual abuse and child sexual exploitation as efficient as possible, we need to be in front of the problem. We need education. We need awareness, to raise awareness. We need to have education for both perpetrators, but also for victims. But we also need to be in front of the problem technological. And that means that law enforcement really has to invest in technological possibilities. For instance, to identify AI-generated material. As you can imagine, that it saves a lot of capacity if we can identify it as artificial intelligence-generated material. At the same time, we need legislation that gives the possibilities to use technological tools to fight this crime. But I think everybody can rest assured that the investigators in this crime type will never let any stone unturned.
Right, so we need the right technological tools, we need education, but we also know that end-to-end encrypted communication applications have created cross-border networking possibilities for offenders. What does law enforcement need to tackle this?
They are using all types of methods to encrypt their information, the information exchange. So they try to hide from law enforcement. We need similar tools. If the criminals are using AI, we need also tools as AI, and we need a legal framework for that. And that is very important. So in this whole area of online crimes, particularly in the area of child sexual exploitation, we need resources, we need tools, and we need a legal framework that allows us, law enforcement, to fight these heinous crimes.
It's not just in the exploitation of children that AI has become an accelerator. The online world has become a hub of crime as a service, with ransomware attacks proliferating and all kinds of crime taking place in dark forums. Criminal networks' need to use real people is reduced, as AI can take on tasks that would usually be performed by lower-ranking people within criminal networks. Cyber attacks targeting critical infrastructure, governments, businesses, and citizens are further proliferating. Edvardas, how do you see this taking place in your line of work?
Traditional crime by default is national. Cybercrime by default is international. Because in traditional areas, in more than 90%, you will deal with local stuff. In cyber, I can barely find any case which has only local components. All the time you have something abroad. And that's why this international cooperation, that's why entities as Europol is crucial in these business areas. Critical infrastructure affects everyone. So imagine if some electricity will disappear in the whole city or in all country, actually everyone will be affected. And then actually it takes a lot of time to restore these critical services. So that's why actually it's extremely important to pay attention to these areas.
It has a massive destabilizing effect. People lose the trust in the society, lose the trust in the governments, lose the trust in their banks. The people have the feeling, my government, my police cannot protect me anymore because I have been, for the third time or the fourth time, a victim of online frauds. And it's exactly these type of frauds, these online frauds, that also hybrid threat actors have seen as an opportunity.
Then you have the ransomware, so you want to encrypt all the files on the file systems. That has been, for quite a while, also a full-service landscape. So all of these famous ransomware brands like Lockbit or Revel, all of these are ransomware as a service.
Here's Marijn Schuurbeers, head of operations at the European Cybercrime Center.
So you just become an affiliate user, you pay a fee, and then you can use this software to fully encrypt all of the files at the company. Then you come to the extortion phase. You need secure communication channels, and also there, and you need, so you get the cryptocurrency from a company. You negotiate that, in the end you have the money, but then this money is also dirty money.
Many ransomware attacks target small and medium-sized enterprises as well as individuals.
So what you saw in cyber criminal attacks multiple years ago, the cyber criminals would directly try to target your bank account. So to somehow get into your payment flows and that you and trick you into making a wrong transaction. Nowadays, the thing they are going for is your data, your personal data and the data of companies. Because the data is basically what represents nowadays the value of a company. The information position in general, it can be personal data of your employees. It can be your intellectual property or your other company strategies. All of these things, they represent a lot of value of companies. Criminals know this. So they will target nowadays first the data. And once they have the data, they become in control or they gain a lot of power because they can extort companies saying, okay, we have this data and we can publish it or we can resell it to your competitor or whatever. And this puts companies in a really sensitive position and making them sort of feel sometimes with their backs against the wall.
AI and other new technologies such as blockchain or quantum computing will accelerate serious and organized crime in line with their rapid development. They're a catalyst for crime and drive criminal operations efficiency by amplifying their speed, reach, and sophistication. Can you tell us about the dark web?
Maybe it's interesting to state that technology by itself is neutral. It's usually created with good purpose, but it started to be abused, and it grew to how to ensure, or it was used for criminals to protect themselves, to launch parallel illegal markets to sell illegal goods. And for time being, what do we see in dark web? You can buy whatever you want for illegal stuff, starting from whatever you want. If you want to kill someone, you can approach and can find killer. If you want to buy drugs, you will find. If you want to buy hacking tools, you will find. If you want to know how to launder money, you will find. So it's also a bit area, hidden area, not very visible for everyone, but it's a very, very active area. So we have also responsibilities in this field to collect data, also to assist national law enforcement entities.
It's all connected to dark web markets, ransomware groups.
From cyber criminality, I would say that LogBit is much more impactful.
Yeah.
I would say that it's one of the most impactful cases, because in every third case where ransomware was deployed, we saw LogBit. And LogBit became so powerful that they started to advertise in social media. For example, if you create LogBit tattoo, you will get 1,000 euros only for this. You just need to make photo, and then actually money in cryptocurrency will be transferred. So it became as brand of criminals. And it was a good thing that law enforcement proved that we are capable to do it, not by one country, but by 10, at least supported by Europol, coordinated by Europol. We took down the world's biggest ransomware group, which was responsible for 30% of all ransomware attacks. Actually, disruption of LogBit group was one of the most significant activities or operations conducted by law enforcement.
What was the modus operandi of this group?
So it was crime as a service. It means that actually it was a platform operated by LogBit group. And if you want to become affiliate of this crime, you just need to subscribe. You, every single majority of steps were automatized, and you had everything in one platform. So you can deploy ransomware, you can buy initial access, you can encrypt data, you can make payments, etc. And it was created to involve more and more criminals. So it means not only core of LogBit was in charge, but many, many affiliates. That's why actions against this platform or this group was essential for law enforcement.
So the result was that the group was dismantled. Can you tell us more about that?
There were several arrests. Actually, also we seized huge amount of data, which we will use in the future as well. So we will come for them. So it means that when someone of this group will travel to Western countries, they will be arrested. So it's not that we try to investigate one case. It's almost impossible in cybercrime. But you collect data systematically. You collect knowledge systematically. And then you see this whole puzzle of everything and how they're interconnected. So for us, this main thing is to strike properly to the point where we have the biggest impact possible. At least we still see 300 million euros in blockchain. It links to other crime areas as money laundering. You need to invest this money to legal or illegal business as well. So what do we see? That some cyber criminals, they have so much money that for them sometimes it's really hard to imagine what they will do with this money. So in many cases, it could be used for other legal or illegal activities. That's why they are extremely dangerous. We frozen more than 200 Bitcoin accounts or cryptocurrency accounts. Majority of them are for sure in Bitcoins. We have millions, hundreds of millions of euros there. We took down 34 servers and we found approximately 14,000 different bank accounts linked to criminal activity of this group. And of course, we took control of all their criminal infrastructure, which was used to operate this criminal business. So we had internal insights, and also we added our intelligence layer on the top, how we should act in the future. It was the biggest ransomware group, and as I said, they were responsible for 30% of all ransomware attacks at that time.
We've heard all about how criminals are using AI to become more efficient, but how is Europol harnessing AI to combat these threats, which we've discussed in the new DNA of crime? Let's find out more from André Linse, the Deputy Executive Director for Capabilities at Europol.
At Europol, we are ahead of the game in harnessing the AI power, and we are actually making sure that our investigators have access to proper tools, the state-of-the-art tools to fight crime.
What does harnessing AI look like at Europol?
As I said, we are trying to stay ahead of the game, so we recognize that we need to use AI-enabled tools. And that is why at Europol, first of all, we need to be compliant. And in order to be compliant, we need to have a structured approach towards AI enablement. And for this reason, we have appointed a dedicated position. We have nominated an AI officer who has the overall approach and vision on what Europol does across the board in terms of AI. And next to our AI officer, we also have established an AI alignment committee that is consisting in representatives across the board from Europol, from all the parts of the agency, who are collectively looking at current challenges and also recognizing these challenges, but are in the same time able to translate these challenges and demands into an actual work plan for our ICT developers to deal with the environment of AI. And another stakeholder which plays a dominant role in terms of future technology is our innovation lab, who has a dedicated branch, which is called the Foresight Capability.
There's a lot of talk at the moment about the responsible use of AI. Can you tell us about how Europol is using AI responsibly?
One of the key principles that we have at Europol whenever it comes to developing new tools is that we need to make sure from the very beginning that we are using new technologies in a responsible way. And in order to be responsible, we also need to be compliant, and we need to be compliant to several layers of legislation, be it a data protection, be it a security, or be it an Artificial Intelligence Act compliance. Whenever Europol is developing new tools, we need to make sure that we do it in a compliant way, because we also have a responsibility towards the European Union citizens that everything we do as a law enforcement agency, we do it compliant. Technology is advancing on a very fast pace, and we need to make sure that in the same time we balance the responsibility that we have in using new technologies in a compliant way, in a lawful way. Europol is ahead of the game when it comes to using AI technology within our tools. But in the current pace of developing AI in the private sector, we are always in an endless race with criminals.
That was the A of the new DNA of crime. You've now heard about all three main trends. If you'd like to see more, you can download the EU Serious Organised Crime Threat Assessment from Europol's website. Our next episode in this season will be about what can be done today and tomorrow to anticipate threats and to make the security of the EU future-proof. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Europol podcast. Please subscribe and give us a rating on whatever platform you're using to listen. And if you enjoyed the show, maybe consider sharing the podcast on your social media. If you want to hear more about our work making Europe safer, you can always check out our website. That's europol.europa.eu. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you soon.